Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Welcome back to the Chat with Father Matt. I'm here with seminarian Chris Komorowski. He's a second-year theologian studying at the Mount St. Mary Seminary of the West, where I went to seminary. How are we doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. And happy to be on the show here with an illustrious alumnus of this institution, Mount St. Mary's of the West in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I hear I still have a reputation down there at Mount St. Mary's.
It's kind of scary. You do. And, you know, we bring you up. We remember you fondly, you know, and it's too bad you moved so far away from us. But we still, you know, hear about the crazy goings on that you have up in Fort Recovery.
There's nothing that goes on in Fort Recovery. I don't do anything crazy at all.
Well,
no, I'm.
we still tell the stories maybe about prior times.
There you go. No, like when my first couple of weeks when there was weddings going on, I just went and crashed the weddings and started square dancing and swing dancing with people, and that kind of, you know, got me a reputation up here very quickly a priest that does stuff with people instead of just sits in his rectory.
Oh yeah, well, people down here are like, who is that really friendly seminarian who would always go dancing? You know, that's what it is down here.
Like, there we go.
Well, there's only one guy who did that.
Yeah, you don't think much of a chubby guy dancing, but it happens.
Well, you can really cut a rug, that's for sure. Everybody knows.
So, Chris, you're in seminary in February, which seems to be like the hardest time, at least for me, to be in seminary. How are things going down there? People keeping sane?
You know, it is definitely that lag time of the semester. You know, you've like started up and there's you know, have that excitement for new classes in the beginning, but then now it's just like the slog. And so and then of course in Cincinnati it's all gray and cold and everything, so
sure.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to certainly a better season, but the classes that I'm in, super exciting. Especially loving this class on all of Paul's letters.
Oh, wow.
So everything that Paul wrote in one 15-week class. It's kind of daunting, but
that's intense, yeah.
Just a lot of great stuff in that whole class. It's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I remember my February time. I think one time it snowed 6 or 7 inches, and since we sleep there, we go to school there, mass is all underneath one roof. We eat there all underneath one roof. I didn't go outside for like a week and a half, and that was not good at all for me.
No.
You need to have a little sunshine in your... Well, I guess the sun's not even showing, so you just need to be outside and go somewhere else and not be in that stale hallway all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have you on the show today to just talk about everyday living as a Catholic, as a Christian. How can we just kind of bring to mind God, bring prayer to mind as we go throughout our everyday life. And I'm sure you have some kind of points and we can just chat about how we can help ourselves and help other people just think of God and think about praying as they go throughout their day.
Yeah, this is great. And I think about this all the time because there's all these different things that the church has to give to us to help us throughout the day. And I mean, there's so many different practices that we could use to just remind ourselves throughout the day of the truths of our faith and of how much the faith supports us on really a minute to minute basis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought a little bit about like why we should keep recalling God throughout the day. And it's really because of that undying love of Jesus Christ for us, that that the Sacred Heart burns for love for us. And that's the sort of like life-giving principle that we really want to base our life around. And that's, and that to me is just exciting, you know? And so when you think about that, you know, it's not like, oh, I just probably should think about God, you know, every day because I'm a Catholic, or I should think about God because he probably like wants me to act in a certain way because that's just what he kind of, you know, wants us to do. It's like, no, he really wants us to embrace a life-giving style of action so that we can go and live with him forever, you know?
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
is really, which is really exciting.
I mean, we can get stuck in ruts all the time and be look inside of ourselves and just kind of get caught up in the world and everything that's going on and not be able to go out and seek God, seek going out of ourselves to seek other people to help other people. So that's, yeah, what you just explained, letting the Sacred Heart's fire just grow in love for us and just realize that on a daily basis. That's just amazing.
And I think of a parallel between kind of what we talked about with seminary life. You know, there's that, that slogging time. You know, I think some people get into those ruts, as you said, of just really not feeling like there's a lot of like life-giving. Nothing really gives them life.
Sure.
You know, nothing really. They don't really feel like they're living full lives, but they don't really know like what's. What's not present, you know? It's like, well, you know, I'm doing everything, you know, I'm, you know, I'm working my job, you know, and I'm helping out my family, and I have a relationship with my, you know, my wife or my husband or,
and children,
and yeah, and your children, exactly. And but you just, you don't know quite what's missing. And the thing that really gets me fired up is that fire of the Sacred Heart. And so when it comes to like every day, you know, the everyday action, I think of the, I think of Saint Therese, who said she was praying about what her vocation was going to be, and that she felt that her particular vocation was a vocation to love. And I think for each of us, that is something that we can work into our daily life, is that we have this vocation to love. And I think of another saint too, Saint Mother Teresa, who would say, do small things with great love. And so it's whatever you're doing, you know, whether you're you know, whether you're on the assembly line or you're, you know, you're working a job and you don't really quite enjoy it 100%, and you're like, well, I mean, I think what's the number? It's like 50% or something, or even more than that, of people are unhappy with their jobs, you know? And that can be really draining when you're doing something maybe 8 hours, 9 hours, or even more in a day. And it just really drains you. It really doesn't give you life. But you can do those small things in your job with a great love, with a service to others, and with that fire of the Sacred Heart really enlivening everything that you do. And I mean, I just finished this book on Saint Mother Teresa, which was really phenomenal. And actually, it was Father Sean Wilson. Shout out,
Wapa Pineda. Yeah, we just chatted with him a little bit ago.
Yeah. He gave me this book, he handed it out to his whole parish, or all the parishes. He really pushed for this book to be given out to all the parishes on St. Mother Teresa for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like taking a tour of the churches around there. And I was like, can I take one of these books? You know, and he was like, yeah, for sure. And so anyway, just these points, you know, this reminder that the Sacred Heart is burning with love for you, and that you, that if you bring that into your heart, you can help live that throughout the day with your actions, and live like our model, Jesus Christ.
So, I think the whole point we're trying to get across is that we want to sanctify the day, to set apart our day to give love and receive love in all of our actions that we do. And we can kind of break that up into four main parts throughout the day? And what are some kind of things that we can, or what, I guess, what are the four parts first that we should break up our day into to kind of help sanctify our day?
Yeah, I mean, this is a kind of simple way of thinking about it. Maybe you think about it this way already, but I think about it in the morning, noon, evening, and night. So these four different parts, when we can invite Jesus Christ into our day to really, so that we can offer the whole day to Him, mm-hmm. this entire time that we're awake, mm-hmm. and then then at nighttime before you go to sleep, you can be like, Jesus, I'm gonna sleep right now. I'm gonna offer this to you. Mm. So anyway, so you can. I mean, these are just some ideas, you know, that you could adapt maybe or mm-hmm. Or add to your own personal prayer life, or even modify what you're doing, or just, you know, change the thinking on the things that you already do.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, but in the morning,
a treasure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's just a treasure of the church that many Christians before us have practiced, and I think we're just kind of giving light to a couple of those things to help bring sanctification to our day. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So the morning, what's one thing or a couple things that we could do in the morning to help?
So for the morning, I think about the morning offering. I don't know if you've heard of this, but this is a practice mm-hmm. that when you wake up at the beginning of the day, you offer to God, and it's just really, there's a very simple prayer, and you can look it up online. I won't read it right now, mm-hmm. but it's a prayer that you can offer all of your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings. Mm. Which really, I think, probably covers everything that would happen during the day.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, there's high points, there's low points. You'll be doing some praying, but a lot of us really, we just do a lot of working, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but we want to offer all of these things up.
Wow.
And especially unify them to the Sacred Heart, as we've talked about. And this is even before you do anything. I was talking with a priest recently, and he's. He was talking about how when he wakes up, he will go and look at Facebook. It was the first thing, uh-huh. the first thing that he did.
Sure.
And he would always, he was a priest at the seminary, and he would always get really mad because he was waking up with Facebook, you know? And I'm sure maybe some older people listening to podcasts, maybe it's like the newspaper or something like that, like mm-hmm. looking at the news, mm-hmm. you know, that you just like read it and you're like despair about humanity. And mm-hmm. it's like, you've been awake for like 10 minutes or something, you know, it's a little too early to start, to get an angry start like that, or even to think like immediately about work. I know a lot of people, they check their phone.
It's just a drudgery
right away,
that you have to wake up and then go straight into work and not give any time at all to anything else.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And so just invite you to start the day a little bit differently, you know, even before you do anything. And this is something also that you could revisit throughout the day. You can just say, you know, prayers, works, joys, and sufferings. You know, these are things, I mean, I was, you know, I've been suffering right now, you know, and so I want to offer this up. Or mm-hmm. this is a really great time, you know, I really want to offer this up. You know, or something like that. Or you're just doing work. You're just doing maybe a repetitive sort of work, and mm-hmm. it's just kind of getting you down. You're like, sure. Well, I'm going to offer each one of these things. I'm going to offer these to, you know, for my kids, you
right.
know, or for my friends who are struggling, mm-hmm. you know, or for, I had recently had a family member that died. You know, I want to offer that for that individual. Mm. So,
yeah, that's just
could help
put God at mind first, and try to have all those things kind of go second as we begin our day. I had a friend in college who just got frustrated waking up sometimes, and he's like, it's the devil that's making me not want to do what I want to do. So he would like wake up and just punch through the air and say he's punching the devil in the face so he can just start his day right. I mean, it can be as simple as that, to kind of just say, God, I'm giving it to you. Help me get through this day. I'm offering all these things up before you, through you. So, the noon hour, there's a specific prayer that we can pray there, and we can also offer that on at 6 p.m. It reminds us of the Incarnation. What's the name of that prayer?
That's right. That's called the Angelus, which I really, I don't know where it comes from, but it's an ancient practice that you would stop work at noon, and you would get the signal from the local bells. Church when the bells would ring. Mm-hmm. And there's a really famous picture that a lot of people have of these two people. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe French, working in the fields, and you can see this tiny little church in the background, and you can see that they've stopped to pray, like the farming implements are scattered around them, and they're not working, and they're stopping to pray the Angelus. It's a really, really beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I actually bought that painting when I knew I was coming to Fort Recovery, just to kind of be mindful of all the workers in the field and just taking their time to pray for them and for the ministry at Fort Recovery.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. And so, I mean, not all of us work, you know, close to a church or something like that. And it's hard to kind of think of maybe you don't have a natural stopping point at noon or something like that, but you could choose a time around noon. And actually, you can emulate this practice of the church. And a lot of people have smartphones now, so you can. I know people who do this. You set an alarm for noon every day, and then you change the ringtone to church bells.
Oh, that's true.
You can actually like
emulate,
you know,
that.
Get,
that's great.
That practice has been going on for like centuries. Mm-hmm. It's super great.
Mm-hmm. And it's just thinking about the Incarnation. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she's conceived the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just how could you not be thankful for Christ coming to earth to die for our sins, to help us be one with him again in heaven? That's just an amazing thing to do every single day.
And that's something to just, you know, take just a few minutes and be like, that is a really great thing. And, you know, I do need a stopping point right now just to take a break from work. And so I'll think about that, you know, and I'll say this particular prayer that that many Catholics are saying throughout the world. And so that can be said at three points throughout the day, 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. You don't have to do it at all those times. Mm-hmm. Noon is really the very popular one. Mm-hmm. But the other times also, if you're up, it's a great way also to sanctify the day.
The evening time.
Yeah, the evening time. So this is just something that you could do, some type of practice that is conducive for you for prayer. And so what I wanted to talk about a little bit is doing some spiritual reading. Mm. So even though there's a lot of different ways to pray, and I'm sure some of you have tried some of those, but for me, spiritual reading is really very powerful, and especially some reading of the Bible. But also there are some other books that can be really effective in bringing you to a prayerful atmosphere and really reminding you of that fire of the Sacred Heart for you, and of also the other truths of the faith, which are very powerful to meditate upon. Mm-hmm. And even just like 10 minutes would get you a lot. Even if you're tired, you can really try and get through just a few minutes of reading just the Bible. And a lot of people, when you know, you kind of look at the Bible and it's like, well, where do you start in the Bible? And it's like, well, I guess I should start at the beginning and then just, you know, read it all the way through. It's like,
sure.
Well, you know, that, you know, people do that, and that could be effective. But
Leviticus,
I'd invite you.
Leviticus
if you
gets help or hurt.
Yeah,
help.
Yeah.
It gets hard sometimes.
It does. And so if you really do want to start, then I'd invite you to start with the Gospels. Mm. Because like for me, I didn't read through the Gospel like the whole way through until I was in college, because just no one ever invited me. Mm-hmm. And so I started, and I found out that I had already encountered a lot of the stories, but actually some of them I had never heard before. But you hear them at Sunday Mass, usually, if you're, you know, I've always been Catholic. I was baptized, you know, when I was 3 months old. So I've been going to church all these times, and I hear, I've already heard all those the gospel passages.
Yeah.
But reading it the whole way through puts it all in a context, and that can really help you.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes it more personal, too. I mean, you're taking time to read the words of Christ. You can hear them all the time at Mass, but once you can't really sink into them until you put the words into your mind through reading them.
That's right. And, you know, when you're at Mass, usually Mass is just kind of one thing after another, and there's not really a lot of, you can't really sit with it and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it at home, you can, you know, read the gospel for a few minutes, read a story or something like that, and then you're able to just sit for a couple minutes and be like, well, you know, what do you think, like, what do you think that God is trying to teach me with this passage right now? You know, is this applicable to my life in some way? And usually it is. I'm just shocked.
Sure.
You know, I'll read something and be like, that is directly applicable to my situation right now, like today, you know, of what happened to me today. And that really helps me put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to just start like at Matthew or something. Just read the gospel that is for the daily Mass. And you can really kind of just go, like we're going through Mark right now, and just be a part of those stories and see how the faith of those people saved themselves, just like the woman that suffered from hemorrhaging a couple of days ago. Jesus was just being touched.
Tuesday, maybe.
Yeah, he's just being touched all around in this crowd pressing in on him. And then he's like, hey, someone touched me. And the apostles are like, well, yeah, someone touched you. I was like, no, I power flew through me to heal this person. And now she's healed. And then she sheepishly comes up and says, yeah, I have faith in you. And you healed me from my very difficult 12-year problem. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
God can heal all those things in your life.
That's a practice that my mom does. She just started recently reading the gospel of the day and doing a short meditation on that. And I think she's told me that's been very, something that has given her a lot of peace in her life. And so I've really appreciated her witness on that.
Mm-hmm. True. And then we close our day. We have the nighttime. Most of the time, I just want to fall asleep and be done with the day. But it's good to sanctify our day through that.
That's right. At the very end, you can, I guess you can reiterate that morning offering, you know, and you can just look back and be like, I wanted to offer to you my prayers, my works, my joys, and my sufferings. And then you can examine yourself. Usually at the end of the day, it's an examination of conscience that is really the practice. You look back and you'd be like, okay, there are some ways that I did not offer you my work today, you know, and I'm sorry about that.
Sure.
And but I did think of you at these different points of the day, and actually I prayed at that time. I didn't really expect to, but that was, you know, and you can go back and you just take a review. And this is actually something I know you, Feisty, you just had an interview, Father Ethan Moore,
right?
From he's the vicar right at
St. Peter in Huber Heights.
St. Peter's right in Huber
North
Heights.
Station, Dayton parishes.
That's right, and all those the quad pack.
The quad pack.
The quad pack, as he called it, and and so he talked about the Liturgy of the Hours, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so this is something that is part of night prayer of Liturgy of the Hours. So that's something that if you wanted to do that, that's something even that could be done as a family if you could try and wrestle everybody into the same room and do that.
Mm-hmm. But an examination of conscience is part of that. A long thing, examination of conscience, but just what happened in your day, what went well, what didn't go so well, and how can we better that so we can glorify our Lord and so we can show the love that our Lord has shown us so many times throughout the day. But yeah, the Liturgy of the Hours, we had a podcast about that. That kind of breaks up our day. As priests, as seminarians, we pray five times a day to just get away from the work that we do and reflect on the Psalms, reflect on the readings of the church. So I think it's already kind of implemented in a seminary and a priest's life, but anyone can just take time away and offer themselves to God to just make it a way to let the Lord know that we want His love, we want to share His love, and we want to give His love to all that we encounter. And it makes us get out of our minds and ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you would recommend to people or think about as they go through their day and try to sanctify their day?
Well, I don't really have anything.
Okay.
But if they do have anything, they could, I guess, you have the Facebook page, right?
Sure.
Of the Full
mm-hmm.
Recovery Cluster.
Yeah.
And also that, I mean, that's something I'd invite people to do, post some things there. Mm-hmm. If they found that things are helpful for them, then just share them out there for other
yeah.
people to use.
Yeah. Cause I think it's difficult if you do it by yourself, and then you kind of don't, you feel like you're alone, but if, you kind of challenge another person to do it, also, and then check in with each other, I think you can fulfill that kind of obligation that you want to put upon yourself to put prayer a part of your life. So challenge your buddy and then go forward from there and maybe give it a week. And then if it goes well for a week, go longer and just keep on putting the Lord in your life. I want to thank you for listening today. I want to thank Chris Komorowski for joining me on the chat with Father Matt. If you have any subjects that you would like me to discuss with my fellow clergy and friends that come onto this podcast, feel free to email me at vicar@fullrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at Full Recovery Catholic Cluster. Also, we're now on iTunes, so please rate us on iTunes so we can get this podcast out to the masses. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for the chat with Father Matt.